All right, you're back in the DFSR here with an NFL podcast. It's Tuesday, September 4th. I'm Doug Norrie, that is.
Hard-hitting James Davis.
Oh yeah, that's a new one. We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Back on the NFL podcast after, who could even do the math, many months away. I'm not going to do the subtraction math on when the last time we did this. It was late in the regular season last year. But DFSR.com/NFL will get you started on a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. That's optimal lineups for DraftKings and FanDuel NFL. With all kinds of features, stacking, upside and floor projections. If you want to just work with some standard deviation kind of stuff, we have filtering out of players, obviously lineups for every slate, everything you need to get started and keep winning on FanDuel or DraftKings. That subscription will cover you for MLB as well. While that season kind of rolls along, NHL and NBA right around the corner. So we cover it all under one sub package. We don't section it off by sport or, content provider, or how are the other sites kind of sectioned off? We don't do that. It's all covered under one price. So there you go. That's my spiel. If you're a new listener, because this is the first podcast we've done in a while. Buddy, football is back. Can you believe it? I feel like it sort of like sneaks up on you. There's such like crazy news cycles at this point that feels like sports never truly go away. And then they kind of just, they slow down a little bit and then they kind of ramp back up and then it's here. Do you feel prepared for the NFL season here? I mean, we've taken a lot of time, researched a lot of stuff. Do you feel like it's snuck up on you and we have some themes for today's podcast, but how are you feeling knowing that the kickoff is less than 72 hours away?
I'm feeling great, Doug. I feel like I'm ready, prepared, and ready to have baseball not be the only sport going on. So
yeah, that is also, I'm always,
that's,
I always
that's
get a
the real win here.
when you're a, we're a small shop, right? So it's like, we have us and a couple other people. So we kind of cover all the sports, and that can, at times, when it rams down near the end of the year, you're like, whew, man, I wouldn't mind baseball just kind of ramping up to the World Series here and having it be done. It's kind of, so I always get a new renewed sense of excitement when a new season comes along. And there's a lot of stuff to talk about with NFL. We're going to do a podcast today where we kind of just take a high-level view at what some themes are for week one. Then we will have a podcast tomorrow where we discuss some of the cash game plays that you can consider for the main slate. And then Friday we'll be back to doing a game-by-game breakdown. And that's going to be basically our schedule for this season when it comes to podcasts. Also, that subscription includes premium content as well, so forgot to mention that. All right, so let's talk about a couple themes that we have going into week one. And they were stuff that I just kept going back to when I was writing up some of the cash game plays. But we just have so much turnover this year. There's so many question marks going into week one. And they fall under different themes as far as I'm concerned. They have guys switching teams. That's going to happen every year. There's guys coming back from injury. That seems to be a little more this year than others. And I don't want to be hyperbole there. But it does seem like this season has more sort of injury guys coming back. And then there's some new scheme stuff. But when you're looking at week one, let's pick out a player here. Let's start a quarterback. When you look at quarterback, I think something like 13 of the 24 guys going on in the main slate of week one have some kind of question mark around them, right? Like, how do you feel when you look at this? When you look at, we'll talk about some of these specific guys, but what are you thinking when you see this kind of turnover just at the one position?
Yeah, so I think my theme for week one is that not all question marks are created equally, there are a number of considerations we're going to have to take into account here. Like, is a guy coming off of injury? Well, an injury, what part of his body? Is a guy switching teams? Well, what's the pedigree of that guy? Has he demonstrated an ability to succeed in multiple environments prior to this? The team that he's going to, is it going to be a team that can protect the passer very well? Like, what's their track record? Because in many cases, how well you succeed as a quarterback can come down to just how long you get in the pocket, right? So it's a week just riddled with uncertainty. And so I think depending on which direction you're heading here, like if you're coming in for just cash games, right, double ups and 50-50s, I think you can get a reasonable amount of safety. And I think if you're at big tournaments, like there's 50,000 different directions you can go. And that feels like that book is just wide open right now. So I think for cash games, a lot of people will make the mistake like they always do, just taking speculation out of turn. Like they're going to just assume that Patrick Mahomes, he's like looked good. People love him. He's going to come in and, just dominate just cause like people, I heard a guy on ESPN say he's looked good in the preseason or whatever. I know he's cheap, maybe there's upside there, but I don't know. I think there's a lot of different directions that people can go. And I think many people will take far too much risk.
Yeah, that's interesting. So when we look at quarterback, let's concentrate on a couple guys here just on, in the coming back from injury camp, right? So, and these are guys who have pedigree. I'm gonna say it's enough pedigree, even though some of them have like just are only in their second season.
I'm ready. Let's go.
But guys coming back from injury would include Deshaun Watson and Andrew Luck and Ryan Tannehill. And I guess, and I'm totally understanding there's a crazy amount of tier drop when you get to dropping tiers when you get down to Tannehill. But let's look at Watson and Luck. These guys, you know, Watson obviously tore his ACL, was just going completely bananas last year, tears his ACL, is out for the season. Luck never even gets on the field because of the shoulder injury last year, because they was just like sort of been misreported and then maybe misdiagnosed and doesn't play the whole season. And yet they both kind of walk into pretty good spots to start the season. One's an arm injury, sat out a whole season. One guy's less than a year away from ACL tear. Where do you stand with these guys? Is there any? Can you put any trust in their situations at all, or is like, do you need to take a total wait and see on, on these two injury guys?
Okay, so like Watson at 8,200 just feels like a classic wait and see to me. It would be hard for him to be worth a whole lot more than that in any given week, and not that, I mean, he can be, right? Like, I think he was up around the $9,000 figure on FanDuel right before his season-ending injury, but I just don't know why I would portion such an incredible amount of my salary for a guy when there's just other options available. Like, yeah, he has a ton of upside, great big tournament play probably, but it just seems like an unnecessary risk, and I don't know if other people in the industry are ready to take that risk. I don't think I personally am. Tannehill, I just don't feel like there's... Like, 6,200 is really, really, really cheap, and if you gave him his full... You know, if you assumed he was just like right back to the quarterback he was, that's, that price is at least 10% too cheap, probably more like 15%. And, you know, you could argue that there's some value there. I guess I feel pretty similarly about Luck. If I had to lean in one direction among these three guys, I think I'd personally lean towards Andrew Luck. I just think the upside we've seen from him when healthy, he has just been a $9,000 quarterback and a cash game play at 9,000. And I think given that he's now had effectively a year and a half off, 2 years off since having actually playing in the NFL, I'd like to think that that shoulder injury won't bother him too much. You know, the arm is a funny thing, the shoulder's a funny thing, but all the man has had to do is get that shoulder healthy for the last 18 months, and I just have to think that 7,300 is going to look too cheap in the long run. So, and he arguably, when healthy, has had the best pedigree of all three of these guys, so, or the best and most consistent pedigree.
Yeah, so
I don't know if that's crazy, but that's what my gut tells me right now.
I put out a preseason article where I thought, you know, as a prop bet, a futures bet, that T.Y. Hilton could slot back into, like, he led the league in receiving the year Luck went down. Luck was actually pretty damn close to leading the league in passing. I think he would have been in the top three had he played the final game. He only played 15 of the 16 games, and so I like made a reasonable assumption and gave him like 250 extra passing yards, and that put him in the top, I think it was top two or three that season. And this is throwing a shoulder, so it's just such a concern. I think, you know, we had to do downward guidance on full season projections on a lot of these guys simply because I'm you know, just to let you under the hood on our projection system, if I were to give what I consider to be full season projections full health projections for any one of these guys, really not Tannehill, but at least Watson and Luck would almost definitely look very much like values. And it's just such a tricky thing to worry about, just because the comeback from injury. Now the other guys, the other theme for these quarterbacks is guys switching, just switching situations. And you mentioned Mahomes, so he's going to be a guy taking over a very similar offense to last season, same coach, same basically personnel, or at least same key personnel, and that'd be Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. How much, we saw what Alex Smith did with them, with this group, and he was very, very good from a fantasy perspective last season. Mahomes, I mean, some people arguably think he's a better talent than Alex Smith, and it's just, I mean, so when you look at a situation like this where new guy, all the same other pieces are in place, are you willing to sort of graft on Smith's projection to Mahomes, knowing that, you know, the team brought him in for this one specific reason and everything else is the same?
Yeah, I think, well, it just, again, it depends on your appetite for risk. I mean, if we were just midway through the season and Alex Smith got injured and Patrick Mahomes was coming in, I think we would take a long, hard look at him at 6,700, right? Like, we would at least discuss it. We'd probably kick it around. We'd probably ultimately decide it was a little bit too risky. Now, of course, Mahomes' situation is a little bit more attractive than that because he's not just filling in for Smith. They've been grooming him to take over this role. So I think you can argue that he probably has a higher floor than many people would when walking into a situation like this. And if you just want to, you know, figure he gets at least the same number of passing opportunities as Smith last year, he's probably a reasonable play at 6,700. The issue, and we've seen this just countless times throughout the NFL, like we can't say for sure that Mahomes will even be the starter in Kansas City by the end of the season, right? Like anything, when you get a guy into a new situation like this with no track record and no like real team investment, I mean, yeah, there's definitely some investment here, but it's not like they signed him to a big contract, you know, they probably don't lose any face if he doesn't work out, right? I just don't think we can, and I don't know if I'm just, it's hard to weigh this, my attitude here, against the price itself, because the price is very, very reasonable. But I think people in general are just too bullish on him. Like, I think maybe I'm just talking for season-long leagues. Maybe it doesn't matter because he's just cheap enough on FanDuel that you can just play him regardless and he's, like, going to be fine. And I don't want to, like, overstate the case against him, I guess. But I don't know. I just don't. People just get too excited this time of year for new situations.
I think that's
going to be my general theme throughout this whole podcast. Is like, people, you can be as excited as you want. He can look as good as he wants in preseason. Until he takes some snaps with this team, with this personnel, we have no clue how good he's going to be. That's the main thing I want to. And generally speaking, people almost always overrate how good a guy is going to be because it's exciting to have a new player in that spot.
Yep, I think I agree with most of that. And I think that the only part I disagree with is like the part where they're like they would bail on him because I think that he probably has as long of a leash as like anybody walking into a totally new situation just because they traded away Alex Smith. And so I think I agree with like 90% of what you said in terms of the overexcitement that people feel starting a new season, and sometimes that excitement will trend toward the best possible scenario rather than the worst. Like,
right.
So, you know, I fall guilty of this way more than you do. I'm like, oh man, yeah, this new situation, it's going to work out perfect, you know? And more often than not doesn't, or just kind of falls somewhere in the middle. And so I generally agree with that. Working to not get overexcited is the way to go. And I don't think that I still think he's going to be fine, and he's probably too cheap, and I don't want to play him for cash games, I don't think. Two other guys that are walking into situations, and then we'll move on to a new position here, but because we can go through a lot of these guys. But Kirk Cousins is going to take over in Minnesota. Alex Smith is going to now take over in Washington. Both of those teams look very similar to the way I described Mahomes' situation, is that all the rest of the personnel is almost all there. Cousins specifically walking into one where Minnesota had a lot of success on offense, and now he's going to take over, and they made a kind of a big all-in bet on bringing him in the offseason. Is he a guy that you want to put, you know, kind of take, are you willing to take Minnesota's number, quarterback numbers from last year between kind of like Bradford and Keenum, and just make Cousins those numbers plus some because he's a better quarterback? Like, how safe do you feel with a situation like him? He's a known commodity. He's a very good quarterback. And this is an offense that has excellent personnel, and they just saw him as like just the match to bring in. Like he's a guy, like they're not just going to ditch him. Like he's just going to be the quarterback no matter what.
Sure.
Can you be bullish on that kind of situation just with all the pieces sort of fitting around him?
Yeah, I'm bullish on the Kirk Cousins situation, and he's probably just too expensive. He's going to be good, and 7,600 is like a high enough price that it makes it a little bit painful to bring him in, given that there still is some risk involved. Like, one of the things we've seen countless times when you bring in a new quarterback to a new situation is that the risk goes both ways, both for the quarterback and the wide receivers. So sometimes a guy who looked insane, like a clear-cut, you know, super-duper ace-level wide receiver talent, just gets totally ignored by a new quarterback because that's not the type of routes the quarterback's used to throwing. You know, it's like a level of analysis that I think most DFS analysts aren't capable of because, you know, unless you're talking to the coaching staff, unless you're there seeing it in practice and seeing how everyone's gelling, it's just really hard to say. And I should say, sometimes people come in, and, you know, Sam Bradford reminds me of this too. Sometimes people just come in, Case Keenum, a similar situation moving to Denver, and they just don't find anyone that they can pass to, right? Like, or it's not an easy, like, oh, I just step right in and I have this incredible chemistry right away with this new set of tools. Like, guys are running, cutting at a time you didn't expect, or, you know, they're using their little trick that they always use to get open in the first 5 yards, but you didn't look at them in time. Like, there's a lot of little things that can go right and wrong. So over the course of the season, I do think Cousins is a quality talent. I suspect him to pay and maintain this price. I'd rather pay him over, like, obviously, like Russell Westbrook at 7,900 or something like that. But if I'm in this price tier, I'm going to be asking myself why I'm not just playing, like, Ben Roethlisberger at 8,000. Or, let's see here, like, I mean, even Andrew Luck at 7,300. A little bit cheaper, but same team and same personnel, and has at least performed with this offense in the past. So, I do think Cousins could play over the course of the season. I don't see any reason to rush it, though, for week one.
Yeah, of the top 10 highest, most expensive quarterbacks on FanDuel, there's just so many question marks. Brady, the guys that seem to me like are getting basically the same situations as before is like Brady, Breeze, I guess Cam, not even Wilson because that team's had a lot of turnover on the offense, Roethlisberger, Rivers, and Mariota, and that's kind of it. Like, that's a pretty short list. Now, again, I could keep going down, but actually that list gets even muddier as you get down, because like most of the safer, quote unquote safer guys are in the top 10 in terms of pricing, and as you get a little lower, it's a lot of the guys that we just mentioned, Mahomes and Tyrod Taylor, Sam Bradford's taking over a new situation, Keenum, Eli, he's got a bad matchup. Anyway, the list goes on. We'll talk about some of these cash game plays. Now, let's talk real quick about running back. I do see running back with the same kind of question marks as quarterback, and we have guys coming back from injury, which we can get to in a second. We have some guys in new situations. It's always tough to trust coach speak this early in the season, especially tough to trust preseason work as a litmus test for what the guy's going to actually do. But do you take the same approach with running back that you do with quarterback? I'll break down a couple of the guys. I mean, maybe not every injury is created the same. I mean, do you have a high-level view of running back here, or is it easier maybe to get into some of the specifics around question marks? Because there are a ton of them here at the position.
Yeah, so I think running back in general, I do view a little bit differently. The question marks for me aren't as much around performance as they are around opportunity. So someone like David Johnson, for instance, I have no question really about his performance, and I have no question about his opportunity. Like, I think he's just going to step in and just go for it. And some of the more, I'll just go through a few different guys because I think each guy is a little bit different in my mind. So someone like Dalvin Cook, on the other hand, there's the injury concern and a question of, will he really just step in and start getting 20 carries a game? And even guys that people are very, very high on right now, like Saquon Barkley, I get it. High draft pick, huge talent, great in multiple phases of the game. But 7,600 for a guy who's never taken an NFL snap, and like, it's not totally clear that, A, the Giants just want to rush him in there and make him a 20 carry a game back. You know, there's just a lot of question marks around guys that, if there's no track record whatsoever, the opportunity risk I find to be the biggest one by far. Because you can be as good as you want to be. If you touch the ball 13 times a game, you're just not going to be as valuable on average as guys who touch the ball 20 times a game. So, and we can go down a list and talk about a bunch of different guys who kind of fit this profile in multiple different ways. But for me, I think running back is a position, like, especially because once we get to wide receiver, I think there are some really clear, excellent wide receiver value plays for week one. And if I'm looking at running back for cash games, I'm going to go safe this week. If we're talking big tournaments, then I might stick my neck out a little bit. But I think, too, a lot of people are going to be, you know, quote unquote, sticking their necks out on the same guys. Like, people are just going to take the risk on Saquon Barkley because it's fun to do that, right? And I'm just not sure if you're getting a good DFS value in the meantime.
Yeah, so I think if you sort by price, I'm going to do this just because I think it's easier to break guys down into tiers. If you sort by price on FanDuel, I think you have very few question marks among the top group of guys outside of Le'Veon Bell. And I'm putting the question mark on Le'Veon Bell because he just hasn't played all the preseason. We're seeing exactly the timeline that he went through last year, even down to the first week one matchup where he doesn't play all the preseason. He holds out to the very, I mean, as of this recording, he is still not reported to camp. So
yeah, and he had 13 touches in that week one game against Cleveland and was very underwhelming when he did touch the ball. So
he's an interesting guy. He's just an interesting guy in general. Because he is also very, and this is not DFS related, but I just find it interesting. He's very aware that there's a contract season for him, and he's very aware of what happens to running backs when they get too many touches. And this I think will be a season-long theme for him. Anyway, but after him, I actually don't think you have at least opportunity question marks around the next group of guys. Kamara, David Johnson, Zeke, Gordon, Fournette. I guess Kareem Hunt falls into this that category. I think that group of guys, we can be relatively, we can be pretty clear, I think, about what their opportunity is going to be within a range of outcomes, just because we all their situations are pretty much the same. But like you said, then the next group of guys, that's where the question marks really start. That's the Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, which we're going to get to in the cash game picks, is just a heads up. Dalvin Cook, you mentioned with the injury. Then like LeSean McCoy's on a terrible team, and then like, then you get down to guys like Mixon and Derrick Henry. So it does. It seems like these guys, you know, it seems like your theme is pay up at running back this week, maybe come hell or high water, because it does. When I look at this group, it does seem like this is the group that we can be the most confident about in terms of at the very top tier, the opportunity is going to be there outside of Bell. Is that a safe thing to say?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much a safe thing to say. I just think running backs are a little tricky because like any old running back can pretty much step into a functioning team and perform excellently. So yes, as the season continues to progress, and I think like that's in our DFS muscle memory at this point, right? Like we've seen it just countless times. Kenyon Drake is a pretty good example of this, right? Steps into a role, can touch the ball mid-20s times if the rest of the context around the team puts him in a position to do that. The reason it's different at the beginning of the season is that if your star running back gets hurt on a Thursday before your game, you're in a much different situation in terms of your available options than the season ends last February, and now you have 7 months to find a couple guys who can carry the ball for you for week one, right? And so, I mean, we even saw Kenyon Drake, I think, is a good example here, where came in when it was the emergency situation, was touching the ball mid-20s times per game. As soon as they found some reasonable guys to plug in for 2 to 5 touches a game, his carries went down to 14 and 15 carries. And so I think let's just be careful. Just remember that in the modern NFL, very, very few guys are touching the ball 20 plus times per game. People realize that that's not a good way to handle your young investments. Think Saquon Barkley here. People realize that it's not the greatest way to get maximum performance if you have a guy who's just good but not great, like Kenyon Drake. So going into week one, the guys with kind of known roles, or even a guy like Alvin Kamara, who already had a known role, already was sort of paying this price, and appears to be in a position to have even greater opportunity, those are the types of guys I'm going to key in on. And as I try to figure out, the big question for weeks 1 through 4 is going to be, who are the running back by committee teams, and who are the teams that are going to just give a guy the ball and let him run? Like, is Sony Michel going to be the guy who's going to touch the ball 20 times a game? Because if he is, the $6,000 price tag is a joke. Maybe you just stick your neck out on that week one for big tournaments. But yeah, for cash, I'm just going to take a wait and see approach. I don't see any reason to do anything otherwise.
Yeah, and we're going to get into our Friday podcast, the game by game breakdown, is going to be a long one, because we're going to go through each one of these situations and really kind of break down. Again, we're taking a high level look at it here, but on Friday we will go through and really break down each of these situations, because there are question marks around all of them, and I'm hesitating to get into them too much here. And we'll have a little bit of news trickle in before then, which is going to be helpful. There are a couple injury things hanging out there for some teams. Some teams have not clearly defined their final depth chart. I mean, like Denver kind of solidified it yesterday with Royce Freeman. Again, I have questions about how much we can even trust that. And this is the thing with the modern NFL, is teams are going to also just give out just enough information to get by, to meet guidelines, you know, with what the NFL wants them to release to the public. And that's going to be it. Like, they're not going, there's no reason for these guys to tip their hats at all and kind of show their cards, because that just puts them at a severe disadvantage. Yep. So that's, again, why you have to value the situations where we've already seen a season or many seasons of what the plan is. And of all the groups, that is, I think, the clearest one is among this running back group at the top. And as you'll see from our cash game plays, I think that's going to mean really paying up for the safety. All right, let's, for the safety in the players, not the actual safety position. All right, let's go real quick to wide receiver. This one kind of fits the same theme as the quarterback, only because the two positions are directly correlated in terms of success. Do you see the kind of the same? Like, do you have the same question marks about the receivers as the quarterbacks that we mentioned at the top? You know, like T.Y. Hilton with Andrew Luck and Tyreek Hill with Patrick Mahomes and these kind of situations. Can we kind of just take that first initial conversation and just move it right over to this position as well? Or are there guys that stand out to you as maybe not having a big question marks around them? Like, I kind of see them tied together, and I guess there's going to be some situations where I'm willing to look past it, but it might be picking and choosing those different scenarios.
Right on. So again, we're back into the discussion about cash versus big tournament. And I think if we are starting with I'll just start with cash games because that's, I think, where the bulk of our listeners' money goes in every single week. When you're looking at a situation like this, I think it's absolutely imperative to prioritize guys in known situations. That's not to say you can't go after value plays, because I think there's some excellent value plays coming into this first week. But as soon as you start telling yourself, oh, imagine Sam Bradford with Larry Fitzgerald, like, that, whatever that new quarterback is, that should be scary to you. Like, just the fact that something as fundamental is changing. I mean, and Larry Fitzgerald is on the safer side, right? Like, he's been, you know, the target hound there regardless of who's been under center, and even done it with some very bad quarterbacks. But even with him, I would be cautious, because you just don't know how good the new quarterback is going to be in the new system. You don't know where his first looks are going to go. You know, people age, all sorts of different factors can rear their ugly heads, versus a situation like Jacksonville, right? Same quarterback, but now they've officially shed off the two biggest target guys from the previous seasons and not added anybody in exchange, right? So, like, what's the chance that some random dude comes up and, you know, it's, it moves past Keelan Cole or D.D. Westbrook? I think it's very, very low. And especially, I mean, Keelan Cole, the price on FanDuel, I mean, DraftKings too, but on FanDuel, it's actually comical. The guy's the minimum priced player. He's as much as guys who won't even see a single snap. Curtis Samuel, or, like, you know, just random guys who don't rate to get any targets or touches in the first week. And so I think not every situation there is going to be created equally. What I'm really looking for are guys that have done it in the past. So, you know, I'll use Cole and Westbrook again. Put up pretty good games in a similar situation, who have apparent increased opportunity going into week one. Everyone else, I'll just throw in the bucket of big tournament play. Not to say they're bad big tournament plays. Like, you can play, absolutely, you can play Kansas City wide receivers. You can play Arizona wide receivers. You can play these guys for big tournaments. For cash, I don't see the upside in trying to guess right on who's going to be good.
Yeah, that's going to be, and that's going to be an issue. Like, and a lot of these guys, now the very top of the wide receiver chain actually are pretty known guys. Like, you have Antonio Brown, situation hasn't really changed. Although maybe you can make a case that they have a better wide receiver two for the rest of the season, for the whole season in the future, but that's going to be
not worried about it. Yeah.
Not so worried about that. You have Hopkins with Watson coming back. Actually, that's one of the ones I'm not as worried about. Like, I'd be more worried about, is it fair to say I'm more worried about Watson than I am about Hopkins? Like I don't want to, I feel better downgrading some of Watson's overall projection and not really going so far with Hopkins, and I'm not sure that makes total sense. I'm more with Watson with the running too as well.
Like, well, that's the big thing with Watson, is that, you know, you're basically still paying Watson's price that he had been in the past. I mean, he's definitely a little bit cheaper here, but you're taking away, I mean, you're not taking away his legs. Like, he could just go out there and just start running all over the place and you know, running roughshod on people. But, you know, his mobility in the pocket, like, there's a lot of, you know, just feeling a little bit conservative and, you know, holding up a little bit. If his rushing yards go from 40 yards a game to like 10, that's just 3 points right off the table, right? So, yeah, I think he still will be under center and still will be throwing the ball around. And I think Hopkins is still probably underpriced for what he did with Watson last season.
Yep, and so then the next group of guys, like Michael Thomas, same situation. AJ Green, basically the same. Keenan Allen, same. Beckham, same. And then you get down to Mike Evans with a new quarterback, with Fitzpatrick, with Jameis out. And then after that, it seems sort of same thing with running back. Then we have this next tier, 7,600 and down, where we have all those question marks. Thielen and Diggs with Thielen and Diggs with new quarterback. Doug Baldwin playing hurt this season. Hill with Mahomes, Fitzgerald with Bradford, T.Y. With Luck, and so on and so forth. So
Demaryius Thomas, Josh Gordon, like, the list doesn't get any safer from there. Maybe you can make an argument for Chris Hogan. He actually falls for me into that same category as like Westbrook and Cole, of a guy who almost certainly will step into a more advanced role.
Totally agree. One final thing, then we can get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow talking with very specific cash game plays. Is that one theme for this week also is that the pricing just simply came out too soon. I get why they do it. I get they're doing it to generate excitement and to make sure these contests fill and to give users a long runway and to make sure that everything kind of just gets up and everyone gets excited. And the theme for week one is, you can kind of just play whatever lineup you want. There's no real, there's enough injury news out there. There's the pricing is soft enough. You know, you can't just stack Kamara, DJ, Brady, Hopkins, whatever, and kind of go from there. That, I don't mean that by saying like you can play whoever you want, but there is so much wiggle room with this pricing that I do think a theme is going to be, one, you can be totally fine leaving money on the table for GPPs just because things are very soft. And you are likely going to see pretty high ownership on some of the guys we're going to talk about tomorrow for all the reasons that we're going to kind of bring up in terms of safety, in known situations and whatnot. I could be wrong about that. I do not think I'm going to be, just because it's you pay a premium on safety, but not enough of one, right? Like if we're really paying for safety, like Kamara and DJ and guys like this would be 10,000 and above, I think. And the fact that they're just kind of grouped all together means that we're going to see some pretty high ownership. And you mentioned some of the wide receivers as well. All right, we'll be back in tomorrow with some cash game thoughts. We'll break down those positions again on Friday, where we discuss game by game breakdown. That will be our longer one, where we really take a deep dive into each individual situation. All right, buddy, football is back. I'm excited. You're excited. Let's get it on. DFSR.com/NFL. We'll get you started with our free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. Talk to you again tomorrow when we talk more cash game plays for week one.
All right, man, no choice but to get it on. Let's go.